Hello, and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Thanks for joining us today on the journey. Roger, on Fridays in August, we're talking God's B team.
God's B team. You know, everybody knows the MVP. Everybody knows the All-Star. Everybody knows the varsity. But it's the lesser-known people that also have a significant role. That's true in life, and that's true even in the Bible. And a lot of the people we're looking at, their names are not even given to us. But they play significant roles in the stories that's revealed to us by God's Word. Last week, we looked at the little servant girl in the book of Kings, where she came and told Naaman's wife about a prophet. Naaman had leprosy, and through that process, Naaman became cured of his leprosy. But it was that little captive servant girl from Israel who spoke up away from home, away from her people, in a captive, but she spoke, and what a difference that made. And so today we switch to our next lesser known person in the Bible. Again, this is another person that has no name to us, no knowing to God, but that was a widow. And there are a lot of widows in the Bible, but this one is significant because of what she gave. We're going to talk about the widow who gave two mites. It's found in the Gospel of Mark and also in the Gospel of Luke.
Let me just start out by reading the first four verses of Luke chapter 21. We don't have very much at all about this woman, but we know that this was recorded for very powerful reasons. And so Luke tells us, Luke 21 verse 1, Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Like you said, Roger, very similar to that little girl in the Old Testament book of Kings. Here is a widow on perhaps the other side of life. We don't know exactly how old she is, but we don't even know her name. And yet, Mark and Luke both want to make sure we know about this brief moment in Jesus' life.
Couple of background thoughts, and then we're going to look at some contrasts here. As Mark unfolds the story, it tells us that Jesus was sitting opposite the treasury, and this was taking place in the temple. Jesus is in Jerusalem because he has an appointment with the cross, and that's going to be taking place very soon after this. And in Mark's account, it says Jesus was seeing many rich people putting in large sums. But here's this poor widow, and she put in two copper coins. We kind of call this the mite. And the mite was very small. It'd be about like a penny for us today. Now, it wasn't worth very much. Some commentators will say it's anywhere between a 25th to an 80th of a day's wage. Not even enough to live on. But what she did was significant. And Jesus saw this. This would have taken place likely in the court of the women because this is a widow, a woman, and that's about as far as she could get in the temple. But what takes place here is not so much the location, but what Jesus sees in this heart here, and that's what we're going to look at. There are several contrasts that we notice here, and I think this is what God really wants us to notice is these contrasts. And the first contrast is that there were many rich people, from what Luke says. Many rich people, this one widow. Another contrast, they were rich, she was poor. Another contrast is that they were putting in out of their surplus. She was putting in all that she had. They were putting in large sums of money. She put in very little. What they put in was significant. What she put in was insignificant. But through all of this, Jesus wants us to see this powerful, powerful heart that this widow had. She put in all that she had, and that's significant.
You know, the context, I think, is so pivotal when we've got just a few verse story like this. You mentioned earlier, Jesus has an appointment with the cross. He has come to Jerusalem. He has come specifically to the temple complex. And as best I can tell, this scene begins at the beginning of Luke chapter 20, verse 1 of that chapter. One day, as Jesus was teaching in the temple, and you just kind of allow your eyes to scan across chapter 20 into the beginning of chapter 21. And you very quickly get a sense of the sort of day it was for Jesus. I mean, his authority is immediately challenged by chief priests and scribes with the elders as Jesus is teaching in the temple. And then Jesus gives this parable of the wicked tenants revolving around these builders who ought to know better. They've rejected, in fact, the cornerstone that God himself has laid. And then there are those who come and they want to try and trap Jesus with a tricky question. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And then there are some Sadducees who have a question hypothetically about the resurrection. You know, this series of brothers who are all married to the same woman. And Jesus, how are you going to answer such a challenging question? And in the middle of all of this, I mean, in the shadow of the temple, we've got all of these people who ought to know better, whose hearts ought to belong to God. And I just picture all of these debates, all of these people over to the side whispering how we're going to trap Jesus. We don't even know if this poor widow was aware of all of the hypothetical and hypocritical questions and debates that were going on. She was just doing what she could, and I've got to imagine, in the middle of a day like this, as Jesus sees her, that's a source of refreshment to him.
Absolutely. You know, the chapter before ends in Luke 20, where Jesus says, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes, love respectful greetings in marketplaces, chief seats in the synagogues, places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses for appearance' sake, offer long prayers." They're all into the pretense and the show. And so he sits by this treasury, and what does he see? He sees the wealthy coming in, dropping in large sums of money, but it's out of their surplus. It doesn't hurt them at all. I heard a story one time that if Bill Gates was walking down the road and saw $100 bill laying on the ground, he would waste more money bending over and picking it up because he makes so much in an hour. You know, that's the kind of this idea. But then here's this widow, and he just talked about devouring widows' homes, and she put in not a significant amount. It's very insignificant. But it's all that she had. And if we were standing with this widow, we could reason, well, maybe put in one copper coin because you got to have something. And even though it's very little, you better keep something back. But she didn't do that. We could reason, well, you're so poor, you have nothing to live on. You know, God will give you a pass for not giving. She didn't do that. She had such faith in the Lord that she gave all that she had. Now, imagine some poor person coming to the church and they drop in a dollar. That's all they have. Well, you know, a dollar's not going to pay the water bill. It's not going to pay the electric bill. Won't pay the preacher. $1 is not much. I mean, it just doesn't do much today. And we would think, okay, you know, glad to have it, but it's not worth it. But in this lesson here, there's some things that we need to pull out that I think is very important. The first thing we need to see is that God noticed. God noticed. God noticed how much the rich were given. God noticed how much the widow was given. God noticed the amounts. God noticed the hearts. And that's what's significant about this story here.
Yeah. I love how often in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we are simply told Jesus saw. What a powerful lesson for us on this Friday as we head into the weekend. So busy, so easy just to see what's right in front of us. So easy for our eyes to be locked on a screen or the next item on our to-do list. One of the truly special things about Jesus is that he really saw, he noticed people.
And we have to do the same thing. You know, another significant story we think about is the bent over woman, how she was sitting in the synagogue, and how many people probably saw her, but they didn't see her. How many people just said, kind of, hurry up, lady, you're kind of slow here. Come on, move on your way. But Jesus called her to the front, and Jesus healed her. And so all around us are people that sometimes we don't notice. Here in this lesson, it's a good thing. Sometimes we don't see the good. All we can see is the bad. But God recognized the good. Another important lesson here is what is insignificant to the world is not to God. I mean, we would think, why even count these two mites, these two copper coins? They're not going to make any difference. Two pennies are put in the collection plate on Sunday. Well, big deal. You know, that's not even worth counting. God saw that. And what's interesting, when you read Mark's account, and in Mark's account, he talks about the rich putting in large sums, and then he calls his disciples in verse 43, and he said to you, this widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. Just these two copper coins that are insignificant. You know, you drop a penny, you don't pick it up. Now, if you had a $100 bill for all your wallet, you're going to stop and look for it. But you drop a penny out of your pocket and go, well, it's just a penny, big deal. But Jesus is making this contrast because of their hearts. And that's what we need to see. Some things may seem insignificant. It's insignificant to stop and open the door for somebody. It may be insignificant to compliment somebody. It may be insignificant just to send a card to somebody. God doesn't think so.
Yeah. Again, I think this attaches to the way we treat people around us, right? The disciples of Jesus at times very much struggled with this, and I think we're foolish to act as if we don't. You have the apostles who are looking at how busy Jesus is, how many opportunities there are, and here are some little children who are brought by their parents. And what an insignificant thing to occupy the attention of the master teacher. We know that some of the apostles wanted to send those children away. Jesus did not view those children as insignificant. Or you think of the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well in John chapter 4. Why would a Jew, especially a Jewish teacher who is showing himself to be someone great, why would a Jewish teacher spend time talking to a Samaritan woman? Or all the way at the very end of Jesus' life, a thief on a cross right next to him. What possible significance would the pleas of a guilty man hanging on a cross in Jesus's most agonizing moment? Why pay attention to the pleas of that man? But Jesus not only sees what is so easily written off by the world, Jesus notices.
And you know, another great illustration of this is Matthew chapter 10, where he talks about giving a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple. Heaven notices. Now, he didn't say he went over to Sam's Club and bought a whole case of bottled water. Yeah, that's a little costly sometimes. He didn't pay the guy's water bill for a month. Didn't say that. He gave a cup of cold water. How little does that involve? Yet heaven notices. And so that should tell us that the things we think are little and really don't matter, they do. You know, that book was written several years ago, Don't Sweat the Small Things. Well, you should sweat them because small things matter. Here we're seeing about two copper coins that couldn't buy anything, really. You couldn't buy lunch with that amount of money back then or even today. But to heaven, that made a difference. And then, of course, I think the major lesson in all of this is she gave all that she had. And here in Mark and also in Luke's account, Jesus was just about to do the same thing himself. He's about to give all that he has, his entire life, for this. Now, what's interesting, as she put these two coins in, Jesus didn't stop her. Jesus didn't say, wonderful heart, but you please keep these. No, he didn't. He let her give those things because that was in her heart. That's what she wanted to do. It was the right thing to do. And so she did that. But the significant lesson in all this is that she was going to live by faith. If you give all that you have, you don't have anything else at home. And is that not the lesson of discipleship? That if we should deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him.
None of us can do something for everybody. But all of us can do something for somebody today. And a lot of times that involves denying ourselves. Maybe it seems very, very small. You know, what possible difference could a text or an email or a phone call or a visit or just a kind word, what possible real difference could that make? Well, that may make the biggest difference of all in someone's life. It's simply a matter of, like you said, Roger, laying everything that I have at the feet of Jesus. And maybe a good thing to do after listening to this, the end of this podcast episode, is just spending a few moments in prayer, acknowledging to God, God, I feel like the things that I have to offer are so small and insignificant, but I sincerely want to put them in your hands. You've given everything for me. I will present myself as a living sacrifice to you, and if you can take what little I have today and make a difference in the life of someone and you be glorified in that, God, I'm ready and willing.
And let me put another challenge before you. We see this everywhere, particularly in places to eat and places like stores. There's so many places that need help, and they're short-staffed, and supplies are limited. And I've gone places, and I've seen people that are serving food, and they're just running. They're doing their best, but they're shorthanded. Instead of being short with somebody, instead of just giving them a piece of your mind, help them out. Give them a compliment. Appreciate what they're doing. Make your tip significant. I mean, those are kind of things that we're talking about here. Same thing even happens at the church house. I mean, we got a staff of people that just make sure the best they can that everything's working and they're trying their best. And sometimes, you know, we don't appreciate them. And what we see is all around us, there are people who are giving their all. And here, she gave her all to the Lord. That's what we need to do.
Yeah. We have widows among us in our church family who have given so much to the life and health of the church, have poured in so much into the lives of others, and perhaps now they're not able to do that sort of thing. I'm reminded, Roger, of a powerful line from this past Wednesday night. We had Brother Jim Deason from Coleman, Alabama, talking to us about even through fiery trials, God is with us, and I loved how he brought out that we can't always know why someone else is going through a fiery trial, but maybe they are going through that fiery trial so that I have the opportunity to serve them.
And that takes us right to Galatians 6. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially the household of faith. And I think all around us, God puts opportunities. Let us not be like the rich man in the story of Luke 16. Opportunities laid at his gate. His name was Lazarus, and he ignored him. How easily he could have taken him in his home. How easily he could have taken care of him. Maybe he called his doctor. Maybe Lazarus would live longer. But he shut the door to him, and he didn't do that. That's the way our world treats, but we must be different than that.
God's B team. Fascinating stories of forgotten people. We hope that you're enjoying this little series. If you missed part one last Friday, it's freely available at charlestownroad.org or wherever you access podcasts. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. If you found it helpful and encouraging, maybe sharing it with others via social media would give them the sort of note they need to have, get their minds right as we head into this weekend. We hope it's helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.